As Canada continues to ramp up for the execution of the Future Air Crew Training Program, or otherwise known as FACT, the shortlist of qualified suppliers is preparing for the release of the RFP. One such supplier is Lockheed Martin Canada. Joining me today to speak about their capabilities and what they can offer to Canada if selected for this program is Amy Gowder, Vice President and General Manager for Lockheed Martin's Training and Logistics Solution Line of Business within the Rotary and Mission Systems, or RMS, business area. In this capacity, Amy is responsible for the execution and strategic growth of Lockheed Martin's mission readiness and sustainment programs, with more than 5,400 employees around the globe. Amy, welcome to Vanguard Radio.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Amy, why don't we start with you sharing a bit about your career at Lockheed Martin and your current role leading the company's training and logistics solutions line of business.
Great. So I joined Lockheed, frankly, because I was intrigued by the company's mission and their passion and the technical solutions and really the innovation that comes in aerospace and defense. That's what first brought me to Lockheed Martin. And, you know, I had a number of roles. You covered my supply chain one. I also worked in operations and finance in the aftermarket and sustainment field. You touched on one of my favorite roles, and that was the time I spent in Montreal and San Antonio when I ran that engine business. And just to elaborate a little bit, the Montreal piece of that role was the former Avios company had liquidated, and Lockheed was looking to grow their engine maintenance and repair and overhaul business. And, you know, that was just the perfect opportunity for us. So we bought the facility and we stood up the workforce and we treated it like a greenfield and went in and recapitalized the facility and got the company up and running. We started with 7 employees there in Montreal, and I'm proud to say they're up to almost 300 today. So they're a special place in my heart, and Montreal was a great city to work out of for a couple years. My current role as part of the running the training and logistics solution, as you talked about, focusing on mission readiness, we do deliver training for all of the branches of the military, from the Navy, Air Force, Marines, and the Army. And we do that internationally. We do that around the world. So not just in Canada, but also in the U.S. and Australia and the U.K. So we really do touch a global population from training. And the logistics and sustainment side of the business that also contributes to readiness has our advanced test equipment, support equipment, as well as spares and repairs capability. And then finally, the logistics information system, which is key to providing readiness in terms of linking all the information together in the logistics domain. So we're focused on reducing student attrition in the training area, which is what we're going to talk about today, increasing the graduate skill sets. And we often, in many of the turnkey opportunities, which we'll talk more about, end up recapitalizing the training aircraft fleets for our customers and optimizing the output of student training, but also the output of the aircraft availability for those customers.
Oh, that's a pretty hectic schedule. I must ask you, Amy, since you've been involved in training in various different countries, is the challenges the same? Is there a common thread, or is each country, does it require custom training programs?
Oh, that's an interesting question, John. So what we found is the common theme that every nation in the world is facing is the ability to have high mission readiness and high mission capability at lower cost and at faster paces. So everyone is looking at how do I improve the pipeline of whether it's sailors or airmen or air crew coming out, and so that they're mission ready and able to be deployed into whatever mission they're assigned. So that theme is the same, but I would say culturally, each country does approach training from a different lens, from their own national cultural lens. And so in some areas, students are more cautious, in some areas, students are more aggressive, and you do have to factor that into tailoring the curriculum. And, you know, the interesting thing, if you pull that thread a little bit further, with advanced analytics capability, we're starting to see customers being open to tailoring learning for each student. So some students require more repetition on a certain skill set, so like an air-to-air mission, but they may be very good at air-to-ground missions, and so maybe they require less training and less repetition in that skill set that they're trying to develop. And so that's an exciting, I'm giving a little prelude there, but we're seeing with the advancements of technology, just differences in learning styles and philosophies and cultures. With technology, we're able to start addressing that more and more.
Yeah, it sounds like the advancement of analytics are game changers in terms of training. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, it certainly can be. We definitely see the potential and have been exploring and partnering with some of our customers of how do you start implementing that.
I've heard that Lockheed Martin was a pioneer in the development and delivery of integrated performance-based military training solutions. For the benefit of our listenership and readership, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so as I said, we've delivered training all over the world in all domains. We've actually been doing military training for over 40 years now. And we began delivering, you know, training technologies such as image generators, courseware. And over time, we've expanded that to obviously high fidelity, high-end simulators, training services, the management systems that go with them. And the programs became ever more complex. And what we saw, the opportunity, and what we were really the founder of, is how do you integrate the whole training system to be user-centric, or I should say student-centric or learner-centric approach? And then, taking our system integration skills, how do you take aircraft, courseware, training objectives, and create an entire integrated capability that is performance-based? And what I mean by performance-based is it's what is the output of trained pilots or trained sailors that is required by the end user, by the customer. And so if you take that, you start with, here's the output I need, here's the quality and number of trained pilots I need at the end. How do I then define and customize and integrate an entire training solution to meet that need? And obviously, our system engineering skills, coupled with all the technology I just mentioned, the whole focus is to reduce costs, improve output, and then, frankly, reduce risk for the customer. So in the previous model, customers would buy each individual piece of equipment that I just named, from the high-end fidelity simulators to the low-end. They'd ask me for courseware, and they would try and integrate it all together. And they didn't always design those systems with quality, output, and cost in mind. So we developed a solution, and we have several successful programs of this in Singapore, the UK, Australia, and the US. And we integrated those into solutions that were truly outcome-based and integrated holistically, that included the aircraft as part of that solution. So, you know, some of the attributes that are important is those, they're tailored. As I mentioned, we use modeling tools, proprietary modeling tools to define, you know, one size doesn't fit all, to define the output that was needed for that particular customer. And then we used advanced technologies. So what was the right mix, including recently in some of our customers, they're using in introducing augmented reality, AR, and then virtual reality, VR, as part of the solution. So we integrate those emerging technologies as part of the solution. And then we said outcome focused. So we had, the objectives the customer defined, cost, number of pilots, quality of pilots, and through our modeling tools, defined the level and the curriculum needed to make that possible. And then, you know, finally, it required business acumen, because in many of these things, the training solution is kind of the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. And it's really about how do you finance, capitalize, structure, and then most importantly, partner with both the customer and local industry in the region to deliver the right solution. So who's going to deliver the right piece of that capability at the right cost, and how is that going to be funded? And many of our customers have very different funding models, from privately financed to traditional contracting to private partnership opportunities. So, you know, Lockheed Martin is unique in that we can do the technology, we can do the modeling, we can do the partnerships, and we can do the financing. And I think you take that on top of our 40-year history of training, that's what's really made us the pioneer and leader in performance-based integrated training.
It's really a full 360 program with a lot of detail and planning that goes into it. You've mentioned different partners. I just want to touch on that for a moment, because I know Lockheed Martin Canada has been quite active across Canada in speaking with potential partners and suppliers for the FACT program. What is your team looking for in a partner or a potential supplier?
Thanks for bringing that up. Actually, I do want to give, in the start of this, a thank you to Canada's regional economic agencies, because we could not have had these partnership discussions without them. So we've been able to touch about 115 Canadian companies so far, and we have more to go. We're having what we call regional industry days across the country. And what we're looking for when we talk to these partners is we're looking for companies that aren't just have legacy thinking or the legacy programs, but more innovative technologies and more creative thinking. Because as I described to you, when we look at these complex, as you called it, 360 programs, you've got to factor in the technology's changing and evolving, and you've got to find partners that can bring you those new thinking. And so as we're talking to these companies within Canada, we're really asking them to be bringing new ways of thinking, and then we look at our model and say, how would that fit within our solution? And so, I do say there's a lot of diverse and really highly skilled Canadian companies, and we've gotten some great new ideas from them. And I do want to cite our teammate, L3 Harris. They've been our partner for a while now on this capture, and they've been bringing impressive capability. And then the other thing they do is they reduce the execution risk. So I guess that's the final element. So innovative thinking, innovative technologies, but also people who have executed and can show where they've applied these technologies or solutions, and obviously reduce the execution risk.
For sure. I want to come back to the FACT program just for a minute, if I may. For some of our listeners, they may not be aware just how complex this program really is. I'd ask if maybe you could comment on that a little bit. And also, do you see similarities in what Canada is looking to do with the FACT program between some of the other countries?
Yeah, so that's an interesting thread you're pulling there. So first I'll talk about the comparison. So, it is very comparative to who I listed, the UK, Singapore, and Australia. They all have the same objective, which is to recapitalize their fleets, modernize, and really reimagine their training, and of course, increase the pilot throughput at a reduced cost. So those are common themes. And just to kind of further why we're the leader in this, one of our customers has been able to increase their pass rate of the previous training system by 65%, and then they've been able to cut their student attrition in half. And if I go back to the pass rate is now 80% for that customer. So, to increase it 65% to get it to 80 and to cut their attrition in half is huge in increasing the pipeline of pilots through the system. And so Canada is looking for those same outcomes and same objectives that we're seeing. But this is a large, complex project. So, to give you a benchmark, Australia, when they redid this, the investments in facilities, upgrading infrastructure, recapitalizing the fleet, it was about a $1.5 billion effort and investment. And so we do have a lot of lessons learned of how we've made these other countries successful, and B, how complex and how partnership is truly, truly important, because you don't just recatalyze and reimagine your training without having strong partnerships between us and the customer, and then us and industry. And so, you know, if I go back to Canada Fact, I mean, this is reimagining, as I'm calling it, or, you know, taking the training to the next century and beyond, if you will. You know, we will be doing all aspects of the pilot, including the rear crew that often is their weapon system officers, as they're called, and then they're sometimes people refer to them as backseaters, but they're the ones who do the missions and are responsible for the weapon system information in the backseat. So it will be all of the pipelines, so whether it's a multi-engine pipeline, a rotary wing pipeline, a fast jet pipeline, or the air mobility pipeline. This training system has to cover all of those domains, and so it will be a multi-fleet, so multiple types of aircraft will be involved in this solution. And the important thing is this is a long-term solution. You don't get these benefits by just having annual contracts. You know, it is 10 and 20-year type of vision for these types of programs. So that's what makes it the most complex.
As a final question, it all really comes down to the training outcomes for the air crews. What do you feel sets Lockheed Martin Canada apart in this regard?
Yeah, John. So I think there's three main areas that I would answer that. And that's first, our system integrator capability. So I think I've described to you in other parts of this interview about how we have truly integrated large, complex, outcome-based training around the world. And if you look at in Canada, the Halifax program and the recently won and very challenging Canadian Surface Combatant, we were awarded that with our system integration capability as the forefront of winning that proposal. And you look at Lockheed Martin is a system integration of large systems around the world in multi-domains and including in training. And the second is experience. So these complex outcome-based where the training outcomes truly matter, experience matters. And I certainly believe we've successfully delivered on complex programs like this around the world. And we've been doing training for so long, we do understand what matters in training. And then the last one really is our trusted Canadian partnerships. So let me expand on that a little bit. You know, LM Canada has been in Canada and as a trusted defense partner for over 80 years. And so we have long history and lots of relationships. And one thing you may not know, and you may be surprised to find, Lockheed Martin is Canada's largest obligor of industrial and technological benefits. And since 2008, we have generated positive economic impact of about $4 billion GDP. So we certainly understand and support that policy, but more importantly, through generating that impact, we have developed a lot of relationships with Canadian industry, and we understand the Canadian customer, and we understand the Canadian industry, and truly how to partner, and we are Canadian. So I believe, you know, those trusted partnerships, the experience, and system integration are three key things that is going to hopefully make us a winning solution.
Indeed. You're listening to Vanguard Radio, and we're talking with Amy Gowder, Vice President and General Manager for Lockheed Martin's Training and Solutions line of business with the Rotary and Mission Systems RMS business area. Amy, I want to thank you for coming on to our show. It's been really informative, and we really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, John.